This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby.
Chicago's about to erupt. The Illinois Red, the Pizza Man, just won the Arlington Million under Faron Giroux.
Presented by Abracadabra Farm, Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, American Racehorse Magazine, BetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainesway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Tollgate Hay and Straw, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Lane's End, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
One final try, down to the finish, Noble Bird, Lee, here's the winner, Noble Bird! Fantastic in the Foster!
It's American Pharoah with that majestic prize, pouring it on through the stretch. Keen Ice runs in the second. American Pharoah, the party continues as he rolls home in the Haskell.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, with you once again and alongside special guest co-host Mike D'Anzaris, broadcasting live from the Embrace the Race Company store in downtown Saratoga Springs, actually positioned right in their custom branding room here at Embrace the Race. It's a very special place to be with you on this closing weekend of the Saratoga Race Meet and the 2015 meet. Kind of barrels into the final 16th of a mile, if you will, on this final Saturday of the 40-day meet. Still plenty of outstanding racing action yet to come, with four graded stakes on tap for this afternoon, including the Grade 1 Spinaway and the Grade 1 Woodward. Tomorrow we'll see the Grade 2 Prioress Stakes, and of course on closing day Monday, the Grade 1 Hopeful for the two-year-old boys. It is a gorgeous morning here in Saratoga, and it seems like I could just record that line and play it back every single Saturday morning. At least that's been the case over the past seven Saturdays, because every Saturday morning has just been gorgeous. They have been blessed with great weather. We are going to be on our way to the low to mid 80s this afternoon. Fast main track, firm turf course, and a great day of racing ahead. And a great show on tap for you here this morning. And Mike, as always, always a delight to have you with me, and always a lot of fun to be here at the Embrace the Race store. We've done it a few times
now. We have, Michael, and it's great to have you guys here. Good morning to everybody around the country and around the world, as you say, on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and we're real proud to have you guys here and visit the store again, and it's going to be a great show.
I taught you well.
Exactly, exactly. I read my notes.
Well done. Well, look, I mean, we decided a couple of weeks ago that we should take this show away from the racetrack for this one morning. Mm-hmm. Because typically we host it right from the racetrack. Won't take away from the guests that we're going to have this morning, because we are jam-packed with an array of special guests, which I think our listeners are really going to enjoy. But I thought it was important. Embrace the Race has been a sponsor of this program for a long time, and our relationship, your relationship, my relationship with each other has grown to the point where I said, you know what, let's do this. Let's come to the Embrace the Race store and let's set up here. We've done a couple of shows from here in the past, but it's always somewhat of a homecoming when I come back here and I see all the great apparel that we're surrounded by. Of course, the Embrace the Race logo, which is so beautiful, and the signage here and that slogan, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, sums up what this network is all about and, of course, what your philosophy on the sport is all about.
You know, Michael, it is, and I think what a great weekend to do it here, right? Because the Travers weekend around the country here in Saratoga was just a wonderful celebration of racing. But what's great about racing, as you and I talk about often, is that it's not about one race. It's not about one horse. It's not about one track. It's about that holistic experience that all of your listeners and all of the fans around the country and handicappers and bettors and breeders and owners all believe in, is that racing is their thing. And this weekend is a great example. As high as we were last week, for the Travers, you know what, let's get up again because it's another great weekend. And that's what our brand does, is it, with Embrace the Race, you know, wear the logo, wear the brand and say that, hey, this is what I do. Some people love to fish or sail or play golf or play polo. I love to race. Embrace it.
Yeah, and it's amazing how many of the people involved in the sport have that, echo those same sentiments.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Abby Adsit joined me this past week
sure.
on the Trainer Talk
local,
program.
Local, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She was incredible. And I ask a lot of the trainers when they come on that program, I ask them, what else do you like to do outside of horse racing? When you're not at the racetrack and you get those rare days away from the track or the rare afternoons, what else do you enjoy doing?
Right.
And she looked at me. She paused for a minute, like so many of the trainers do. And she said, well, I'll watch replays of races. I'll watch racing
right,
on TV.
Right.
This is all I do.
Right.
And it's all consuming. It's a passion.
It is. It is. And I think that's what, when, you know, that's what, you know, drew us as fans and owners originally when we got involved with the game. And then certainly from a business perspective, just, you know, you want to do right by doing good, right? Or do good by doing right, as they say. And the reality is if we do right by the fans and enthusiasts, by giving them a brand, you know, we just had folks from Manhattan just stop in this morning, you know, and they stop in and, you know, good to see you again and wowed by the logo. Wow, you have more new stuff. Everything's great. I wear it in Manhattan. You know, I wear it in Kentucky. I wear it in California. But they're not wearing it to the racetrack.
Right.
Alone. They're wearing it to the golf club. They're wearing it to casual work on Friday. They're wearing it to dinner on Saturday night with family and friends. You know, soccer games on Saturday mornings, because they're feeling like, hey, this is my chance to say this is what I love.
Well, Don Little Jr., who is the president of Centennial Farms, they have Wicked Strong going
sure.
in the Woodward today. He's going to be here right around 9:30 Eastern time. And I told him, I said, look, if it's easier for you, because I know you're going to be at the racetrack watching your horses breeze, if it's easier for you, we can do it by phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, no, I want to come to the store. I love the logo,
right.
And I can't wait to see the store. I've been meaning to get in there. So he's going to join us in person right around 9:30 and really just kind of sums up everything that this sport's all about and that brand's all about.
Yeah, no, that's great. When you had mentioned that, it's just, it'll be great to see him. You know, a New England guy, my roots are New England as well as are yours, so it'll be great to see him. And, you know, someone came in the other day and to echo that fact and said, you know, what do you think it is? Do you think it's, you know, the logo or the brand? What is it that sort of draws people to the brand? And I said, it's the old Yogi Berraism, right? It's 50% of the people just get wrapped up in the logo. They love the logo, the fluidity of it, the beauty of it. 50% of the people get wrapped up in the phrase "Embrace the Race." It speaks to them. It gets them moving.
Yeah.
And then the other 50%, to quote Yogi, you know, is that people love the idea that we got our own brand. This is great. This is our brand, and we're going to wear it around the country and around the world. And certainly our association with you guys has helped us do that. So it's been great.
Well, let's tell you what's coming up this morning. I mentioned it is a busy morning, and just in case you're wondering, just 55 days, 7 hours, and 22 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup World Championship.
But who's counting, right? Who's
yeah.
counting?
Well, I'm sure Craig Fravel, the president of the Breeders' Cup, is counting.
I bet.
He's going to be with us after the first commercial break in just about 4 minutes from right now. So looking forward to visiting with Craig and talking a little Breeders' Cup. Dennis Blake, the publisher of American Racehorse Magazine, will be with us at 8:30 Eastern Time. They do a tremendous job with the magazine, and Dennis also has his finger on the pulse of what's happening with racing in Texas
okay.
in that situation.
Yeah.
So he will fill us in on that right around 8:30 Eastern. At 9 o'clock, you're going to hear my exclusive one-on-one interview with trainer Todd Pletcher. Todd got a chance to catch up with me yesterday, or I got a chance to catch up with him at his mm-hmm. barn, and we spent about 10 or 11 minutes talking about all the horses that he has in today's graded stakes, including his four contenders coming up in the Woodward and a couple in the Spinaway.
Mm-hmm.
So we will tell you all about that at 9 o'clock Eastern. You'll hear that interview. And then, as we mentioned, Don Little Jr. joining us at 9:30, and our Right or Wrong segment presented by Sunrise Stallions right around 9:40 Eastern time or so, and I'll be joined by the Big A, Anthony Stabile, for that one. Chauncey, our man back in Lexington, has you covered on all the social media, so we are going to throw a poll question out at you this morning. You can tweet to us at HRRN, and the poll question is going to go like this. A lot of people, well, some people anyways, have speculated that because American Pharoah has now been beaten as he finished second in last week's Travers, that maybe that takes away from his legacy after sweeping the Triple Crown earlier this season. And the poll question today is, do you view American Pharoah differently following his defeat in the Travers last weekend? Do you view American Pharoah any differently following that defeat in the Travers? That's our poll question. Hit us up at HRRN on Twitter, and we'll get to some of those results as we move throughout the show. We'll get to a break. Craig Fravel from the Breeders' Cup kicks it off with us on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, celebrating 10 years of award-winning coverage.
Celebrating 10 years of Eclipse award-winning coverage. Thank you for making HRRN your home for a decade of memories.
Are you a believer?
But it will be Justin Phillips to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
32 lifetime starts, 23 in greatest stakes.
And Justin Phillips will do it. He was a monster in the mud.
12 times first or second in greatest stakes company.
And Justin Phillips will prove best in the Cal Fleet Sprint.
Justin Phillips retired sound, having recorded 9 buyer speed figures of 100 or better and 3 times racking up rag sheet numbers of 2 1/4. Justin Phillips' first foals have arrived and are just like their daddy. Impressive, strong, and loaded with quality. Seeing is believing with Justin Phillips. Hashtag Justin Believers. Standing at Castleton Lions alongside multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Gio Ponti's first crop of yearlings averaged nearly $100,000 in 2014, and his first crop of racing age hit the track this year. Justin Phillips and Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Make plans now to attend the National Thoroughbred Owner Conference taking place at beautiful Gulfstream Park in South Florida, January 11th through 14th, the same week of the 2015 Eclipse Awards. Enjoy a great lineup of speakers and panelists, fabulous social events, and live racing at Gulfstream. Plus, you'll meet celebrity owners and successful thoroughbred owners from around the country. If you missed the inaugural Owner Conference at Keeneland, you won't want to miss this one. Visit ownerview.com to register today. That's ownerview.com.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 19th, as we host the 7th annual Race for the Ribbon. The 12-race card includes 6 stakes worth $700,000 and gets underway at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and is highlighted by the Grade 3 $350,000 Charlestown Oaks. For more information about the Race for the Ribbon coming up at Charlestown on Saturday, September 19th, check out our website at HollywoodCasinoCharlestown.com.
And time now to showcase the Cal Density Horse of the Week, which you can find at the upcoming Keeneland September Yearling Sale. This week's horse is hip number 2582. Write it down, 2582. A big, good-looking filly by Hat Trick out of graded stakes winner Mighty Caroline. This filly is the second foal out of a full sister to stakes winner Cyclogenesis and a half-sister to stakes winner Renee's Queen. Consigned by Gainsway for Winchell Thoroughbred's Corinthia Farm, where he was allowed to run free, not stalled, a natural athlete to behold, and fed Cal Density Black Label daily. Veterinarian Dr. Perry Warnell at Harrison Vet Clinic in Cynthiana, Kentucky, is quoted as saying, "I have watched these horses grow up and seen the impressive growth into big, stout horses with strong bones. See for yourself the special qualities Cal Density fed horses offer, like clean radiographs, conformity, bone density, hoofs, and attitude. Visit us at barn number 30 and get the buyer's edge for this special horse. Write it down, hip number 2582, and previous week's hip numbers 346, 1023, and 1919 at the Keeneland September Yearling Sale. Write them down.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
3/4 and 109 3. They're into the stretch, and it's Liam's Map. Oh, he's got a 5-length lead coming to the 8th pole. He's run a huge race. Wicked Strong and Honor Code have a furlong to reel him in. Totalist is next. They're coming to the final 16th. Liam's Map reaching for the wire. Honor Code running out of time. Liam's Map, here comes Honor Code. Here's the wire. Honor Code looked like he got him in the last stride. Running down Liam. And then it was Totalist and Wicked Strong and a final time of 1 minute 47.82 seconds.
Larry Colmus with the call of the Grade 1 Whitney earlier this meet here at Saratoga. Honor Code with that improbable late run to get up and defeat Liam's Map. Liam's map going to get another opportunity to pick up that Grade 1 victory this afternoon in the Woodward. Honor Code will await the Jockey Club Gold Cup at Belmont and no doubt make his way down to Keeneland for the Breeders' Cup Classic on October 31st. Of course, we will be there as well as your exclusive radio home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. You will hear all that coverage Friday and Saturday, all presented by our friends at Cal Density, and happy to bring you that exclusive coverage here on HRRN. Going to visit with Breeders' Cup President Craig Fravel in just a moment, but first want to bring you your Ashford Stallion Showcase for this morning. And when you talk about Ashford, we have to talk about their stallion, Scat Daddy, because he is the leading two-year-old sire in America and also the leading two-year-old sire by winners at Saratoga with seven. Those include the Grade 2 with Anticipation winner, Azur, and P.G. Johnson winner, Harmonize, this week. Overall, he has three Grade 2 winning juveniles this year, Azur, Acapulco, and Pretty and Cool. Of course, Pretty and Cool, most likely the favorite in the Grade 1 Del Mar debutante later today. So Scat Daddy at Ashford getting it done, and absolutely one that you need to take a look at. Probably going to see some Scat Daddy babies in the Breeders' Cup, and we are happy to have you with us this morning on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're live from Embrace the Race. Mike Penna, Mike Dianzaris, and Mike, a delight now to visit with our upcoming guest, who is Craig Fravel of the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, it's going to be great to hear. You know, obviously they're getting to their time of the year where all their plans for the previous year sort of come to fruition right now, and yet it's still all in flux because you've got all these great races, these win-in-your-ends that have all taken place, a few more to go. Everybody's literally jockeying for position to get access to what is just a wonderful celebration. And, of course, this year with it being in Keeneland, as it always is more than just 2 days. Right, it's a week and
maybe a month
and exactly, and then it's going to feel like that this time because boy, the community of Lexington is just coming all out, and rightfully so, to celebrate what'll be a wonderful couple days of racing.
Well, Craig, no pressure, but just so you know, 55 days, 7 hours, and now only 13 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland, so edging ever closer, my friend. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. You know, it's funny. My wife reminds me pretty much every morning when she goes on our computer the countdown. So I'm glad you guys reminded me.
Well, I gave it out in the beginning of the program, as I do every week, and Mike looked at me and said, well, who's counting? And I said, I'm sure Craig Fravel is counting because, you know, it's getting close now, and we're down to crunch time, and the fields are starting to come together with all the Breeders' Cup Challenge winners making their way into the fields, and really going to be a special time down at Keeneland.
Yeah, it sure is. I don't know if you guys have been over there lately, but the transformation is well along, and our friends at the Colonnade Group who've been putting together the temporary facilities and the Keeneland management team has done an amazing job and redoing the paddock in a lot of ways, and it's just going to be a spectacular event.
Yeah, and it's not only about the 2 days, Craig. With it coming to Keeneland, I know you put a lot of effort into making it at least a week-long event, and coming on the heels of the Keeneland October race meet, it's probably going to be more like a 3 or 4 week type of event this time around, won't it?
Well, you know, Keeneland's going to be kind of kicking the tires on some of these facilities during the, you know, Fall Stars weekend and the meet leading up to the Breeders' Cup, so we have an unusual opportunity to have a dry run that lasts about a month. And as you said, I mean, you can't go anywhere in Lexington without somebody asking you about Breeders' Cup and talking about how excited they are. We had our cupcake tasting the other morning, and one of the TV reporters was telling me how excited they are and how, you know, interested it is and how much fun it's going to be. So it really is a community embracing a world-class event, and we're really looking forward to that.
Craig, Mike Dianzaris here. Thanks for joining us this morning. I really love the way you guys have continued to expand the fields and continue to expand the diversity with which from where people are coming to race. You know, you've made a concerted effort overseas. You continue, obviously, to do so much here. Talk a little bit about how that continues to grow and how horsemen not only in the States but around the world are really you know, continuing to shoot for the opportunity just to participate in this great event.
Well, you know, sometimes I think when you're trying to get people to race with you, obviously there's so many opportunities, not just in the U.S. but all over the world for people to pick and choose, and they, in this day and age, they kind of use major stakes events like the Hong Kong International races or ours or British Champions Weekend. And it's almost like having a condition book in front of you. You have so many different opportunities to choose from. If you pick one you think your horse fits in, as opposed to maybe 20, 30 years ago, you know, there were relatively few opportunities. Candidly, the Breeders' Cup was the only game in town. So you really have to let people know that you're interested in having them, that there's an invitation mm-hmm. waiting for them to come, and that when they come, they're going to be treated, you know, as well as you possibly can treat them. And so, you know, last year we sent Josh Christian, our director of racing, over to Europe, and not only Europe, but Josh travels around the world to visit with horsemen, with owners and trainers and breeders, and let them know that they're welcome and wanted. And that's really made a huge difference in terms of, I think, the perception of the Breeders' Cup. I think we used to be viewed as a little standoffish, and now, you know, it's an open invitation, and we really want to have the best horses here.
Visiting with Breeders' Cup President Craig Fravel on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Equine Forum, hosted live from Embrace the Race in Saratoga Springs. And, Craig, I know that, segueing into a somewhat of a different topic, I know that you are also involved with the Coalition for Horse Racing Integrity, which was recently formed. And talk a little bit about the reasons behind this. Why was the organization formed, and what are you hoping to accomplish with this new organization?
Well, you know, as you know, the coalition encompasses a large number of people. One of the main constituencies is the thousands of members of the Water Hay Oats Alliance. We also have the Kentucky Thoroughbred Breeders Association, the KTA as well, Jockey Club. And really the goal of the organization is to encourage the continuation and completion of the project that's been going on in terms of developing uniform rules and a cohesive national policy on medication regulation. And I, you know, personally, I believe very strongly that if we can put that argument behind us, and maybe we'll always argue about things like medication, but if we can have a very solid infrastructure and system for not only making rules, but adjudicating them and enforcing them in consistent fashion, that's going to be a building block for future growth of this industry.
Well, if that were to become reality, and you do work with the U.S. Anti-Doping Association on this, would the federal government still be involved in racing, or does their involvement end with that designation of the USADA?
I think you got it right with the latter statement. Essentially, you know, USADA and then the new Thoroughbred Horse Racing Anti-Doping Agency would be non-governmental agencies, essentially 501c3 corporations, and they would be the, you know, guiding force behind the creation of the new medication regime. As I say to a lot of people, who say, well, we don't want government involved in racing. Well, right now we have 38 governments involved in racing. We have political appointees in some jurisdictions who have experience in horse racing, and other jurisdictions have none. And so it's really kind of a vast roadmap of different approaches to regulation, and every time we want to change a rule on some on some medication issue, we have to, you know, proceed through numerous state administrative processes to get that done. I think if we were starting from scratch, everyone would probably agree that one approach to the whole thing would be, you know, much superior to 38 different approaches.
Yeah, that's what always gets me, and that is one of the major issues with the sport of thoroughbred racing, is that you do have the different state racing commissions and the state jurisdictions. All the states have their individual legislation that you have to work through every time you want to get something passed. And we have this program in place, the National Uniform Medication Program, which has been adopted by several states, but not all. And in my opinion, Craig, it's a no-brainer to have everybody at least on the same page, so that if a trainer runs in Kentucky, he plays by the same set of rules that he plays by in New York and California and Florida and Texas and wherever it might be that they're running. Do you agree with that, that there has to be some type of uniform policy across the board?
I completely agree. And look, some people want to take offense that the effort is directed at criticizing state racing commissions and is a negative approach to things. I think it's exactly the opposite. We're trying to create a new system that would have made sense if we had done it from the very start. And, you know, there are state commissions out there and state regulators that do a terrific job. And in my 25 or 26 years in the horse racing business, there have been enormous strides. And, you know, my friends in California, I think the California Horse Racing Board and the Kentucky Racing Commission here do an extraordinary job of not only with their laboratory work, but their enforcement efforts, the degree to which they take this task seriously. And but at the end of the day, California and Kentucky should be doing exactly the same thing. And if you get caught for doing something wrong in one, the punishment should be the same as it would be if you were in the other. So, you know, that's a world I think that we aspire to.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And having a uniform medication program that's the same from state to state just makes perfect sense. Why is it, Craig, that it's so difficult to get every single state on the same page when it seems like a no-brainer that is good for the sport of thoroughbred racing?
Well, look, this coalition just got announced a few months ago, and like everything else that's good in life, sometimes it takes a long time to have people understand and should nod their heads in agreement that, yeah, maybe that is something we should think about. So, you know, it's new. The familiarity with USADA and its mission and its people is not as great as we need it to be, and I think there's an education effort ahead to get people comfortable with not only the organizational structure, but the business plan and the method of interacting with state commissions and utilizing existing resources. I think at the end of the day, we'll come up with a much better approach. But, you know, like everything, it takes time. And you know, I guess I'm as bad as anybody. We're all a little reluctant to change sometimes, but sometimes it's a little important to take a good hard look at yourself and your industry and the way you do things and say, is there a better way?
Craig Fravel, president of the Breeders' Cup, joining us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. If you want to learn more about the Coalition for Horse Racing Integrity, you can go to horseracingintegrity.com, and it gives you a full description of what the organization is about and what they're hoping to accomplish with the new program. And, Craig, can't thank you enough for all your time. You mentioned sometimes it takes a little time to get everybody on the same page. Well, time is ticking toward the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland. Just in case you're wondering now, 55 days, 7 hours, and only 3 minutes away. So you better get to work.
Well, one thing I do know that everybody's going to be agreeing on is this is going to be a great Breeders' Cup, so we're really looking forward to it.
Absolutely, and it's a privilege to be part of it. Thank you for all your support. We're happy to be there as your exclusive radio partner, and looking forward to all the coverage coming up.
Great. Thanks, guys.
All right, Craig Fravel, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Of course, you can embrace your passion at embracetherace.com, and we are embracing our passion at the Embrace the Race custom store here this morning.
We are. You know, when we started setting up this morning, I said it's yet to be bustling in Saratoga Springs, but it's starting to be as the sun continues to rise and people sort of get going, and the walkers are out and the runners are out and the sun's shining. And, of course, our horseman friends have already been put a full day in by the time everyone else gets up and going. But that's it. Gosh, you know, what a great chance to hear all the efforts that Craig's doing, you know, both for the event itself, and then obviously, you know, it no matter what side of the debate you're on, I think everybody agrees on the idea of, you know, uniformity and make it that much easier for fans and enthusiasts and bettors and owners to just play the game and be a part of it simply.
Right? Yeah, and it's not just the medication.
No.
I mean, there's other things in this sport. I mean, everything is different from state to state.
Right.
You look at what happened with Victor Espinoza after
right.
the Traverse Stakes, where he's fined $15,000 for wearing a sponsor logo on his boots and then his name on
right.
his pants
right.
during the Traverse Stakes. We'll talk about that, or I'll talk about it with the big A, Anthony Stabile, in our Right or Wrong segment, but I thought that was a little bit ridiculous.
Mm.
And it's something that's allowed in certain states but not allowed here. And look, we need to be on the same page from state to state. That's like Ben Roethlisberger playing in Pittsburgh wearing gold gloves,
right.
and then he goes to New England, he wears the same gold gloves, and he gets fined $15,000 because you can't wear them in New England, right?
Right.
I mean, who cares?
Right, and the enthusiast better part is that we want to keep it simple. We're in a competitive world from an entertainment perspective, and everybody's competing for that entertainment wagering dollar. Keep it simple.
Yep.
Keeping it, let the product itself, which is, as we saw with Travers, as we'll see today with Woodward, as you guys saw on the road with the Pacific Classic in Arlington, and heck, yesterday here on a Friday, it's a great product. Let it stand for itself, the entertainment, the wagering, and the celebratory value of it. It proves itself. So you know, no matter what side of the debate it on, the clarity of the message is clear.
Yeah, amen, brother. All right, it's time for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you each and every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. And we'll be back to visit with Dennis Blake, the publisher of American Racehorse Magazine, as we continue a very busy morning here on the Equine Forum.
This is the story of a man who was unquestionably one of the very best in the annals of thoroughbred racing at plying his trade in the saddle. His accomplishments as a reinsman were not only noteworthy, but they were watermarks among the riding colony on two continents. The sands of the racing hourglass are poured back to the late 19th century to begin this odyssey. The subject of this dissertation first saw the light of day in Cadentown, Kentucky in 1883. He rode his first winner in Chicago in 1899 on a horse called Abenstroke, and he subsequently rode in this country with unrivaled success until 1903. In 1901, he piloted the winner of the Kentucky Derby on a horse named, perhaps fittingly, His Eminence, and the winners of the Latonia Derby, New Orleans Derby, and the Memphis Derby. In point of fact, in his abbreviated American riding career, he had but four Kentucky Derby now mounts, but never finished out of the money. He won that classic in back-to-back years aboard the aforementioned His Eminence and in 1902 with Allen & Dale. He was third while in the saddle aboard Thrive in 1900 and was second aboard Early in 1903. He rode 161 winners in 1901, a total absolutely unheard of in that day and age. He often said the very best horse he ever rode was McChesney, a horse conditioned by Sam Hildreth. He eventually had a great deal of trouble making American riding weights and opted to cross the big pond, so to speak, to ride in Europe, and there he experienced measured success until 1930. He first rode in Russia, where he won the Russian Derby twice and finished second in that event four times in 6 years while under contract to Mr. M. Lazarev. From 1910 to 1912, he rode in Austria-Hungary for Prince Lubomirski. He then returned to Russia, where he rode from 1913 to 1917. He won the Russian Derby 3 years in a row, 1914, 1915, and 1960, for Leon Montshev, who at the time was one of the wealthiest men in the country. Our man left Russia in 1917 at the inception of that nation's revolution being led by Messrs. Trotsky and Lenin. When he was to leave that country, he went to bid his friend what was to be a fond farewell. Many years later, in 1941, he learned that his friend and benefactor, Mr. Montachev, was washing cars at that time for the Nazis in Paris. The story of our subject's escape from Russia in 1917 would provide more than ample fodder for Jean Le Carre novel. Many times before escaping to Poland, he crawled on his hands and knees for hours to avoid being shot at by the Bolsheviks. In 1920, he left Warsaw for Paris, and he wound up there riding for Mr. Mantachev until 1926. He rode his last race in 1930 at the age of 47. Compositely, he rode over 2,300 winners in this country and in Europe, and he once rode 8 winners out of 11 mounts in Moscow. The vast majority of his victories were scored aboard 2-year-olds because he always hustled them out of the gate, rated them, and then saved something for the finish. European riders, on the other hand, went hell-bent for leather throughout and had nothing left at the end. He always felt, although never able to explain why, that collectively, Australian riders were the best. Our man turned to training in France in the 1930s with horses in training at Maison Lafitte near Paris. When the Second World War broke out, he was forced to disband his stable and he turned his property over to the French government, which quartered 200 soldiers there. Then, after France's quick defeat, he was forced to quarter Nazi soldiers. On February 25, 1941, he began another portion of his international odyssey that brought him first to Spain, then to Portugal, and finally back to his native America. Having been in Europe for some time, he was fluent in French, German, and Russian, in addition to English. He passed away in 1941 at the nonagenarian age of 91, with not only fond memories of the turf on two continents, but with a cumulative riding record that by any measure, means, or standards has to rank among the all-time best. His story has the very fiber of what a legend of the world of racing is all about. He was Jimmy Wingfield.
And that is your Lexus Legends of the Turf for this morning, brought to you each and every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. We're back to visit with Dennis Blake, the publisher of American Racehorse Magazine, right after this.
When the Lexus LS was introduced, it changed the industry. Decades of world's first and countless awards later, it's considered by many to be the finest vehicle in the world. So how do you improve upon the impossible standard you've set? Piece by methodical piece, scrutinize every aspect of the driving experience in search of new ways to surprise and inspire those inside. I'm Mike Penna, and I will tell you firsthand that you can say the same things about the people at the Lexus Store of Lexington. The people truly do make the difference. From the godfather Tony Attiano to their outstanding sales team, I promise that when you walk through their doors on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, you'll feel the same way. And if you're in the horse business, there's no reason to go anywhere else. The people at the Lexus store are horse people. They're actively involved with supporting the industry, and they want to be the dealership of the equine industry. So stop in and see them and find out for yourself what it means to be a part of the pursuit of perfection at the Lexus store of Lexington. Millridge has developed a stellar reputation for raising and selling racehorses and will be offering 7 quality yearlings at the upcoming Faze Tipton Saratoga sale, representing 6 different stallions: Congrats, Distorted Humor, Elusive Quality, Quality Road, Pioneer of the Nile, and Trap Shot. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 33 Grade 1 winners, including recent Grade 1 victors Slumber and Coffee Click. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you, with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
And they're off to New York, the premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Adina Springs added Macho Uno's best son, Mucho Macho Man, to their stallion roster for the recently completed 2015 breeding season. And with 95% of his mares getting in foal, he certainly took to his new job well. Mucho Macho Man earned $5.6 million on the track, culminating in his thrilling victory in the 2013 Breeders' Cup Classic over Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
On the outside, Declaration of War, Will Take Charge. Mucho Macho Man just keeps on finding on the lead. Will Take Charge, a late drop. Oh, that's close. Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
Few horses can be multiple graded placed at 2, run in all 3 legs of the Triple Crown, and then go on to become a Breeders' Cup Classic winner as an older horse. And all this from a foal born June 15th. Visit AdinaStallions.com to learn more about Mucho Macho Man and all the Adina Stallions.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna alongside special guest co-host Mike Dianzaris, broadcasting from the Custom Branding Room at the Embrace the Race Company store in downtown Saratoga Springs. Of course, you can visit their website, embracetherace.com, to learn more. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, and we are happy to have you with us this morning as we roll on with our final Saturday at Saratoga here on the network. Of course, our coverage this afternoon coming up from 4 to 6 Eastern, including the Saranac the Grade 1 Spinway and the Grade 1 Woodward. That's all there from 4 to 6 Eastern Time. I'll be joined by Acacia Courtney to bring you that programming, and you can tune in exclusively on our website, horseracingradio.net. And, you know, listeners, Mike, in nearly 60 countries have made us, actually it's a little bit over 60 now, over 60 countries have made us their home for Saturdays at Saratoga this meet. So we want to thank everyone around the world for joining us for that programming. And keep in mind, you can follow us all the way down the road to the Breeders' Cup and through the Breeders' Cup as we are your exclusive radio home.
Yeah, you know, Michael, and just congratulations to you guys as you've just continued to grow and work and work and work again at this, and you've done a wonderful job with it. And I think also, I mean, let's face facts, that, you know, on the heels of the conversation with Craig about getting that, you know, no matter what side of the debate you're on, keeping it simple. I mean, you know, you got people in multiple states and around the world, you know, letting them all understand exactly how they can play, bet, participate, own, breed. The more simple it is, the more participation, the more celebration, and it's a win for everybody. So congratulations, and it's emblematic of the world we live in today with horse racing. It's certainly a worldwide pastime, and we're as Embrace the Race certainly proud to serve them.
Yeah, appreciate that, my friend. And don't forget our interview with trainer Todd Pletcher coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Don Little Jr., the president of Centennial Farms and the owners of Woodward contender Wicked Strong, going to be here at 9:30 Eastern Time. But we are going to bring you our one-on-one interview with Mr. Dennis Blake, the publisher of American Racehorse Magazine right now. And you talk about an organization that does a great job promoting the sport and putting the sport out there in a very positive light. Well, you have to look to American Racehorse Magazine, and they do a great job. And Dennis with us now here on the Equine Forum. Dennis, appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys. It's great to be here.
Yeah, welcome to the show. And, you know, American Racehorse, if people go to AmericanRacehorse.com, they can learn more about the magazine and what you represent and the different things that you do. But fill us in. What is American Racehorse Magazine?
Well, basically, we started a few years ago as a Southern Racehorse Magazine and just started covering Texas and Oklahoma. And then we kind of grew over the last few years to kind of cover the states, you know, outside of Kentucky, Florida, New York, all the big states, which, you know, Bloodhorse does a great job of covering. But there's a lot of great stories in these other states, too. There's some, you know, great horses that come out of these states and, you know, some breeders, owners, trainers that maybe don't get the national recognition sometimes. And so, you know, we kind of filled that void and like to highlight all the things going on in those states and in those breed programs.
Well, Dennis, as you know, that's something that I'm a big fan of as well, because we started the Trainer Talk Show a few years ago. We started Jock Talk earlier this year, and those are shows on our network that kind of bring people the stories behind the stories. And there are so many great stories in the sport of thoroughbred racing, and so many characters, and a lot of character as well in this game. And that's one thing that I'm a huge fan of, going behind the scenes, getting those stories and bringing those to light, because it's what makes our sport great.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at a horse like Get Happy Mister, who a lot of people probably still haven't heard of, but he was the king of Arapahoe Park. A lot of people probably don't even know where that is. But he won, I think, 7 or 8 straight stakes races there, and it's kind of one of those small track horses that tried to make the transition to the big track, and a lot of times doesn't work. But he went to Santa Anita, won a grade 3 on the turf his first time out, first time running on the turf. And it's just one of those great stories. You know, they didn't pay a lot for him. He's a Colorado bred. He's now the all-time leading Colorado bred. And even his name, you know, they picked his name out at the sale. The owner just was thinking of a cute term, and as they were bidding on the horse, he said, "Well, get happy, mister. Let's go get this horse." And that's what they ended up naming the horse. And he's earned, I think, $360,000 as the all-time leading Colorado bred. And that's stories that you don't sometimes see, you know, on the major publications and the major, you know, national websites.
Dennis, Mike D'Anzaris here from Embrace the Race. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
I've got a question for you. You know, we certainly this time of year, the foliage is starting to change. It's college football season, and, you know, so many folks want to always talk about the top 25 games, if you will, in college, you know, the top 25 ranked teams and where they're playing. But just go out to any college football stadium on a Saturday afternoon, and the pageantry, the excitement, The enthusiasm is there regardless. And if you could talk a little bit about that as it relates to some of the places where your readers are and some of the tracks and some of the experiences, right? Because certainly nothing will ever replace winning a grade one somewhere on a major stage, but as you've talked a lot about a lot, that enthusiasm is just as bold and vibrant no matter what level of racing, right?
Oh yeah, and it's like that all over the Midwest and the Southwest here. And one of my favorite tracks that probably most people have never heard of is the Gillespie County Fairgrounds in Central Texas. It's a tiny little track. There's not even an indoor area. It's just an outdoor grandstand. It kind of goes back to the old county fair racing. And it's, you know, they don't have big purses. They don't have the greatest, newest facility, but they get huge crowds out there, just to watch. You know, it's low level racing, but it's a lot of fun. There's huge crowds. Everyone cheers the winner. It doesn't matter if it's a $2,500 claiming race. When the winning horse comes back, people are applauding and going crazy. There's families there. It's just a great experience, and they've actually been running there since the late 1800s. I think it's the third longest running track, behind Churchill, and I think Pimlico might be second. But it's just a great experience, and there's some little tracks like that around here, and then there's obviously the big tracks too. You know, Remington Park has a facility that I think can rival just about anything in the country.
Talking with Dennis Blake, the publisher of American Racehorse magazine. You can learn more by going to AmericanRacehorse.com. And matter of fact, you can even check out the archives when you're on there at AmericanRacehorse.com. Dennis, one of the states that you cover is Texas. And Texas was in the news recently this past week going through some turmoil with their program and what was happening with the State Racing Commission and the legislation there. Fill us in a little bit about what's happened in Texas and what we can look forward to.
Yeah, it's been a crazy, crazy few weeks in Texas. It all kind of went back to last year when the Texas Racing Commission passed rules for historical racing, which, you know, as you know, has done so well in Arkansas and Kentucky. And there was a lot of objection to that from a few legislators who did not want to see historical racing come to Texas. There was actually a court challenge to those rules, and the court ruled that the Racing Commission did not have the authority to pass those rules on historical racing. Obviously, there's some disagreement on that ruling, but the horsemen don't agree with that. The tracks don't agree with that ruling, so they have appealed that, and they're going through that appeal process right now. In the meantime, there was a lot of pressure on the Racing Commission to repeal those rules from these senators who, you know, did not want to see historical racing come to be. And they basically made it clear that unless the commission repeals these rules, that they're going to withhold the funding for the Racing Commission. And without the funding, there's no Racing Commission. Without the Racing Commission, there's no Texas racing. And so there was a meeting a couple weeks ago where the commission was expected to repeal these rules, but the horsemen and the racetracks made a very impassioned plea to let the rules stay in place at least until this court case, you know, works itself out and see what happens. Because if they repeal the rules, the court case essentially disappears. So all they were asking is just, you know, keep these rules in place, just let the court system go through its process. And that's what the commission did. They decided to leave the rules there, but then in response to that, some of these legislators went through and basically withheld the funding for the Racing Commission, which the crazy part is that it's not taxpayer money. It's money that is generated by the industry through, you know, license fees and money at the track to regulate the industry. They finally got it worked out to get a three-month extension, but it's really not a good solution. You know, it's just pushing this whole thing back for a few months. There may be some changes to the commission where they try to remove some of these commissioners who supported historical racing. So I don't know what's going to happen in the next few months. It's kind of a wait-and-see approach. I feel bad for the Texas horsemen because it's hard to plan your breeding season. It's hard to plan where you want to race when you know that this potential problem is out there 3 months down the road, because they did actually shut down racing here for a day before they got it resolved for this short-term fix. So it's something that the horsemen of Texas are working hard, trying to get a long-term resolution. The tracks are working on that too, but as of right now, there isn't one. It's kind of a wait and see for the next few months and see how this shakes out.
Well, you know, this is the time of year, Dennis, when so many racing fans are focused on the major meets of Saratoga and Del Mar. But I'm going to ask it to you this way. How critical is it to have a strong racing program in the state of Texas for the overall health of the thoroughbred industry nationally?
Oh, yeah, I think it's very important. I think it's important, you know, not just Texas, but the whole region. But Texas specifically, you've got a couple horses this weekend at Saratoga and Del Mar, both running in graded stakes. You've got Promise Me Silver running Sunday at Saratoga, and the girl in that song is running in the Yellow Ribbon at Del Mar. And, you know, these are only one horse in each race, but you'd be surprised how many horses bred in this region, you know, run down here, but then also run across the country. And if you look through the entries anywhere, you see a lot of Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana horses and horsemen, you know, running all over the country. And if Texas racing were to, you know, wither and die, it's going to hurt nationally, and it's going to hurt the surrounding region, because that's where some of these horses that run in Oklahoma and Louisiana, they come from Texas, or the owners are from Texas. And so Texas racing really needs to survive and you know, hopefully flourish to help everybody.
Yeah, we'll encourage people to keep an eye on that situation and do whatever they can to help, because it is vital to the sport of thoroughbred racing, as you just mentioned, not in that region, but on a national level as well. Again, you can go to AmericanRacehorse.com to learn more about American Racehorse Magazine, and Dennis Blake is our special guest here today. Dennis, can't thank you enough for spending a little time with us. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We will get that out to you, and thank you for all your support of what we do here on the network, and keep up the unbelievable work that you're doing with American Racehorse Magazine.
All right, thanks guys, I appreciate it.
All right, Dennis Blake here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and really doing a great job. Again, AmericanRacehorse.com is where you can learn more. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back with a short segment before getting you ready for hour number two and that interview with trainer Todd Pletcher at the top of the hour. Stay tuned. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair Strips. FlairStrips.com.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
There are millions of reasons to get involved in the fastest growing promotion in horse racing and the third richest thoroughbred event in the United States, the Daily Racing Form NTRA National Handicapping Championship. Whether it's online or on track, start playing today for $2.5 million in prize money and an Eclipse Award as Horse Player of the Year. Join the DRF NHC Tour today and start planning your trip to NHC in Las Vegas. Go to NHCTour.com for details.
Earn a lifetime breeding in Danza, a dominant Grade 1 winner and a leading three-year-old of his generation. Half-brother to Grade 1 winner Majestic Harbor, Danza defeated top three-year-olds such as Bayern, Strong Mandate, and Commissioner.
Danza, in a sparkling performance, is making short work of the Arkansas Derby field. Danza is the boss as he wins by five.
To learn how easy it is to earn your lifetime breeding, contact Spendthrift Farm today.
The Breeders' Cup runs here.
Bayern, toast of New York, California Chrome. Bayern, toast of New York. Bayern has won it. Bayern got there by It's Untappable in front. Untappable the leader. Don't Kill Sophia flying on the outside. Untappable going to get there. Untappable has won it. Judy the Beauty sticks her neck out, goes for the wire. On the outside, Better Lucky's catching. Better Lucky, Judy the Beauty. Judy the Beauty, one and a head and a thrill it. Main sequence finishing best of all. Late run from Twilight Eclipse. But it is Main Sequence to score. Main Sequence has won it ahead.
The Breeders' Cup, October 30th and 31st. Exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Cal Density. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information and to listen live.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario.
Hi, this is Jockey John Cork.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come for the top of the stretch. Rachel's Valentina is on the outside of Awesome Dame. Rachel's Valentina out in the middle of the track. Awesome Dame trying to hold off Rachel's Valentina. The two of them are heads apart as they come down for the 16th pole. Rachel's Valentina and Awesome Dame. And here is Rachel's little girl, Rachel's Valentina. In a dazzling debut, was off slow, rallied, and got the victory first time out.
John Embriel with the call of Rachel's Valentina. In her very first start, a winning debut for trainer Todd Pletcher, the daughter of champion Rachel Alexandra, was, well, she was in the spotlight for sure that afternoon, and she performed with aplomb. And a nice victory there, winning by two. She will go postward in today's Grade 1 Spinaway, which is a race you'll hear exclusively with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That coverage coming up from 4 to 6 Eastern Time. You can tune in on your smartphone, your tablet, or your computer with our live streaming at horseracingradio.net. And Mikey D., that was a unbelievable effort from Rachel's Valentina. She lived up to the hype, so to speak.
You know, it must be something with that Rachel, because Rachel herself lived up to the hype, and sports in general, racing in particular, like everything. You know, you can hype what you want, but at the end of the day, you got to roll them out and see what's going to happen. And the hype does not always match the performance. But Rachel herself did it here. Rachel Valentina did it here, and then of course Jess's Dream did it here as well. So going back to the dam, she set the stage, and certainly those, you know, her two children have more than lived up to the hype, and it's not often in sports in general, let alone racing, that happens. So that was an exciting day.
Well, a few weeks ago, I had the chance to visit with Rachel's trainer, Steve Asmussen, on our Trainer Talk program. You can go back and hear the whole show on our website at horseracingradio.net. But he spent some time talking about that day that Rachel became the first filly to win the Woodward, and it was a special day. We broadcast the race on the network. I can remember the roar from the crowd was deafening, and Steve talked about that. We're going to have that clip for you here in just a minute, but want to remind you that on Sunday, September 13th, you can watch and wager on the $1 million Rico Woodbine Mile live from Woodbine Racetrack. Now, if you think this field's going to be good, well, it's going to be better than good, because it features a star-stacked international field competing against two-time Horse of the Year Wise Dan. And an impressive wagering menu awaits you as well. You're going to have bets as low as 20 cents on all Triactor, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Guaranteed Pick 4 pools. Plus, you can play the all-new Thoroughbred Pick 5 and Jackpot High 5 wagers. It all comes your way Sunday, September 13th, with the Rico Woodbine Mile live from Woodbine Racetrack. If you're looking for more information, simply go to woodbinemile.com, or you can follow at Woodbine Racing on Twitter.
You know, any chance to watch Wise Dan run in person is
super.
Get a ticket, get in front of a computer, listen to Horse Racing Radio Network to do that, because to hear and watch him run is just, it's a sight to behold.
Yeah, it certainly was, and it was for Rachel Alexandra as well. As I mentioned, Steve Asmussen talked about that day and talked about her career when he joined me on Trainer Talk.
You know, sitting right here, where, you know, on the apron at Saratoga, and to remember that moment, the fun part about running Rachel Alexandra is you never had a horse I never had a horse or saw another horse run that many percentage of everybody was on her side.
Yeah.
That they wanted her to have success. And that, you know, her running in the Preakness against the boys and stuff, it just, the following chance, she went to the Haskell, you know, and beat Summerbird and Runnings and stuff and just, you know, let the girl run. And when she won the Woodward here, and we're doing the interview after the race, it was just amazing for me. As she walked to the spit box, the quarter pole here at Saratoga, from the winner's circle, as she walked, the wave of people, like 15, 20 deep, as she went down the racetrack that just followed her down, was a very special moment and something that I hadn't seen in racing previously.
Yeah, people absolutely loved Rachel Alexandra.
They should have.
Yeah, and they loved the fact that she gave everything she had every time she went to the track.
Yes.
How about that Kentucky Oaks victory?
Oh,
what was that?
Well, it was one of those, did I just see what I thought I saw? It was one of, is that possible? You know? She's just a tremendous talent. And for her offspring run the other day and to win here and run very impressively, what memories that brought back.
Yeah, cool was that?
It was amazing.
Trainer Steve Asmussen talking about the great Rachel Alexandra. You heard him talk about the wave of applause that just kept rolling. Kind of reminded you of what we saw at Belmont with American Pharoah on maybe a smaller level, but that wave that went through Saratoga the day that Rachel won the Woodward was unparalleled.
You know, people want to be a part and witness to special moments. It doesn't matter what it is, in your personal life, your professional life, your sporting life. And that was one of those special moments that people just wanted to be there, and you could feel the electricity. I remember her coming past us. We were sitting at the quarter pole and coming past us, and you've never seen so many people with what they knew were going to be losing tickets once she put her competition away, cheering for her.
Yeah.
It's a great thing about racing is that you can want one outcome and bet the other and be happy either way. And that was an amazing, amazing experience to witness.
I wish that we were on television for that show.
Right.
Because if you could have seen Steve's eyes light up when I started to talk with him about Rachel.
Oh, about
Alexandra.
The interview here. Sure, yeah.
I wish we were on television for that moment because his face lit up, his eyes just...
You could sense it in his voice.
Oh,
it was a pure emotion when he was talking about it.
Yeah, yep. And I mean, she was a filly that captured a lot of people's hearts, probably none more than her trainer, Steve Asmussen.
Well, they brought her to the paddock to school, and they were 10 deep just to watch her school before the race, the day before the race. They were 10 deep, unannounced. And it was, as I say, it was a combination of, you know, the superstar point guard meets the superstar quarterback coming to life. And a beautiful filly. It was an amazing experience.
Well, Saratoga will be rocking this afternoon with the Grade 1 Spinaway. And if Rachel's daughter, Rachel's Valentina, can pull off the victory in there, that would be electric as well. And we'll see if she can continue along that path. We're going to hear from her trainer, Todd Pletcher, coming up in just a few minutes to kick off hour number two, because he did take about 10 or 11 minutes out of his morning yesterday. He talked with me about Rachel's Valentina. He talked about Tonasa, who also goes postward in the race for him. And he talked about all four horses that will go postward in the Woodward later this afternoon. And, by the way, Nona's Boy in the Saranac. So Todd's going to be a busy man, as is typical on these big Saturdays. We'll hear from him next, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Power.
And he's pulling away, and Frosted has won the Wood Memorial.
Passion.
Holding off Lee as they come down to the finish. Constitution of the Dawn.
Performance.
Ring Weekend and Drayden Van Dyke up to win the Kilroe.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet has once again been sensational in 2015. The champion sire is North America's leading sire this year, represented by four 2015 Grade 1 winners. Wood Memorial winner Frosted, Ring Weekend, who scored in the Frank E. Kilroe Mile, Don Handicap winner Constitution, and Untappable winner of the Apple Blossom at Oaklawn. Overall, Tappet has sired 17 lifetime Grade 1 winners, 39 graded stakes winners, 11 millionaires, and 6 champions. Tappet is also ranked number 1 in the sales ring in both North America and Europe, with 2015 yearlings averaging more than 952,000. Tappet, standing at Gainsway.
Power.
Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
And they're off to New York. The premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit nicholsoninsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
First Samurai is America's best sire son of champion Giants Causeway. Already the sire of a champion, First Samurai has Grade 1 winners on both coasts.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
As well as graded stakes horses around the country.
And Lee has won the Don under Joel Rosario.
Get happy, mister, in front. Get happy, mister, has won it.
First Samurai, a proven sire of quality at Claiborne Farm.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The 37-year wait is over! American Foal is finally the one! American Foal has won the Triple Crown!
Buying Toast of New York, California Chrome! Buying Toast of New York, buying has won it!
Chicago's about to erupt! The Illinois Bread! The Pizza Man just won the Arlington Million under Maron Giroux!
As they come down to the 16th pole, it is Texas Red in front. Frosted runs at him. Texas Red, Frosted, a dramatic Jim Dandy, and Texas Red has won it.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back, hour number two of a busy equine forum. Mike Pena, the Baron of the Backstretch, along with special guest co-host Mike Dianzaris, as we broadcast live from the Custom Branding Room at Embrace the Race, their company store right here in downtown Saratoga Springs. We encourage you to come by. We are located on Circular Avenue, big yellow building, can't miss it. And when you walk inside, you're going to be wowed by the unbelievable apparel, which is all over this showroom. And really doing an amazing job with this brand, with this logo. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. It does say that you are a fan of the sport of thoroughbred racing like no other brand. And come on in and see us and stop by at your leisure while you're in town for this closing weekend of the Saratoga meet. Hard to believe, just 3 days left in this 40-day meet.
You know, you wait all year, and it's the equivalent of a major league sports season that happens in about 6 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So but it's been a wonderful meet, some just amazing moments, both human and equine on the track and around the environment. Certainly the sales, which we did with you guys, are a great part of it. It's really never ending, and even while this week, as people get back to school and summer unfortunately dwindles to an end here, you know, it'll ramp back up today for sure. And what a card we've gotten. I know it's going to be great to hear Todd talk about how he not only sees this race but manages, you know, having half the field in a Grade 1.
Yeah, four graded stakes on tap for this afternoon, including the Grade 1 Spinaway and the Grade 1 Woodward. Of course, our coverage, 4 to 6 Eastern Time. You can listen exclusively on our website, horseracingradio.com. www.thehorsemen.net. And don't forget, you can do that on your phone or your tablet. So many people have come by our broadcast location here at Saratoga and been listening to us on their phone as we are on the air, and they're at the racetrack. So another way to do it, if you're running the kids to soccer games or softball games or baseball games, whatever it might be, or if you're out at the racetrack and you want to tune us in, go to horseracingradio.net, click the Listen Live button from 4 to 6 this afternoon, and you will hear all of that exclusive coverage. Don't forget, we have a poll question for you. You can tweet to us at HRRN, and the poll question is, do you view American Pharoah differently following his Travers defeat last weekend? The overall sentiment so far is absolutely not. I think we had one listener chime in and say, hell no. So right. I guess that's the overall sentiment that, no, he's still the Triple Crown winner. He still has a legacy. He's still the champ.
Not many things in life can you actually improve your legacy in a loss. He may have done that. Right? Because
ran huge.
I mean, certainly he wanted to win. His connections did. Most of the community did, both locally and nationally. Guess what? It's racing.
Yeah.
He left it all out on the track, put away his competition. Keenice got him. Hats off to the Donegal folks and Keenice for getting it done. But you know what? He ran his heart out. And by all indications, sounds like everybody, cooler heads have prevailed, and we're going to get a chance to see him in Keeneland at the Breeders' Cup, which would be wonderful. But I think it changed, maybe for me, but only for the better, because you know, winning is one thing, but competing and showing up and doing what you can and doing it valiantly in a loss adds to me a whole dimension.
So. Yeah, ran a huge race,
yeah.
And certainly doesn't take any luster away from what he's accomplished at all. Some people said it takes away from his legacy if he gets beat. Absolutely not. I think that's insanity to even think that way. No way.
How about the legacy of him showing up the day before with 15,000 people,
yeah,
half of them in tears, and the other half not wanting to make a move to spook the Triple Crown winner,
yeah,
because how lucky they were to see him. So that talk about adding to a legacy, that added to a legacy right there.
Todd Pletcher has his own legacy, and yesterday he took the time to talk with me. You're going to hear that interview momentarily, but first we want to remind you that you don't get to be America's leading stud farm for the 13th time in 30 years without producing champions, Grade 1 winners, and Derby contenders, and Lanes End Stallions have done just that. With the likes of Candy Ride's Shared Belief, Curlin's Stellar Wind, Quality Road's Hootenanny, Lemon Drop Kids' It's a Knockout, and City Zip's Day at the Spa. To learn more about breeding opportunities with Lanes End, just give them a call, 859-873-7300, or you can visit lanesend.com. All right, Todd Pletcher took the time to talk with me at his barn yesterday morning, and here's what he had to say about all of his contenders going postward this afternoon.
Trainer Todd Pletcher has horses entered in 3 of 4 Graded Stakes races on Saturday afternoon. He has Nona's Boy in the Saranac, Rachel's Valentina, and Tonasa in the Spinaway, Protonico, Coach Inge, Liam's Map, and My Loot in the Woodward. You missed the Glens Falls, Todd. What's up with that?
No, we couldn't come up with a filly and mare turf to go long enough. Hopefully we're in the process of developing some.
You have Nona's Boy. We'll start with it, and we'll kind of go in order here. Nona's Boy, big win last time out in the Lamplighter at Monmouth, obviously showed you enough to bring her back here in the big race in the Saranac.
Yeah, we thought handled the turf really well. Showed us that in some breezes leading up to the Lamplighter. The key with him is just getting him to relax the first part. I thought Chris DiCarlo did a really good job of that, and that allowed him to finish up well. So we're hoping we can stretch him out to a mile and an eighth, and the challenge to that's going to be how well he relaxes the early part.
Yeah, and this just in, he is indeed a colt. I think I said her, so you're no stranger to running fillies against the boys either. That would probably be all right, too.
Yeah, on occasion we do that, but it's funny you say that because Mike Rapoli calls him a her all the time, and I think it's because he's named after his grandmother. So.
Of course, hasn't been out since that race at Monmouth. What's he shown you in the weeks leading up to this race that gives you the confidence that he fits?
I like the way he's been training. He can be a bit of an aggressive horse in the mornings, and he's actually been pretty settled and relaxed in his gallops, and I'm hoping that translates to him being a little more relaxed in the early part of this race.
All right, let's move on to the Spinaway, and Rachel's Valentina obviously lived up to the hype first time out, ran a gigantic race. Look back on that performance.
It was everything we would hoped it would have been. Filly trained really well all along since day one, just as straightforward, professional, and as uncomplicated as any two-year-old you'll ever get in. The one thing that she showed us in the mornings is that it seemed like the further she went, the better she got. And honestly, my biggest concern was just running her 6 furlongs first time out and hoping it wasn't too short for her and that she would break alertly and put herself into the enough into the race to be able to get the job done. And she was able to do that. I mean, that's not her forte, is busting out of the gate and going quick. So I was happy to see her getting in a position where Johnny could kind of move her outside of horses. And once she got her momentum, then it carried her home.
Is there any added pressure on a trainer when you have a horse that's this well-bred and out of a champion like Rachel Alexandra?
Well, I don't know that I would say there's added pressure. You know, we certainly felt very good about what we were seeing. And, you know, obviously when one comes in with that kind of pedigree, you take special note. But for me, it was really once we saw the talent that we were seeing from her in the morning, I felt like that you know, we were pretty relaxed about it. And like I said, she's been so professional and such a pleasure to train that she's made it easy for us.
Well, she's not the only one you saddle in there. You also have Tonasa, who ran a huge race last time out, has a little bit of an experience edge over Rachel's Valentina because she's been out twice. She's running Stakes Company. Tell me a little bit about her.
She's sort of the opposite of Rachel's Valentina. She's very quick. She's super alert from the gate and, you know, early speed is her strength. So their running styles complement each other, and you know, I'm concerned about the 7 furlongs for her being a tick far. That's why we took the blinkers off, hoping we can get her just to settle down a little bit in the early part of the race, and hopefully that'll allow her to carry her speed a little further.
What's the key with these young horses? What are you looking to see at this point in their career?
Well, I think the main thing you're hoping for is just continued improvement, and you know, you want to win every time you can, but, you know, at the same time, you want to see them hopefully physically and mentally and professionally continue to develop and move forward, and hopefully that leads to even bigger things down the road.
Now let's move on to the big one and the Woodward. 4 horses entered. We'll start with Liam's Map, who set a blistering pace last time out in the Whitney, came up just a little bit short. I thought it was just an outstanding performance. How about you?
It was an awesome performance. It's unfortunate that he wasn't able to come away with the victory, but I think as far as horses losing a race, he gained about as much respect as you can for his performance and not winning, but trained well since then, and, you know, we're looking forward to trying again.
Did you think you had it at the 16th pole?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I have a lot of respect for Tonalis and Honor Code, and I knew they were coming, and I was looking at the wire, and I knew we had to be getting tired, and I was kind of going back and forth looking at the horse and the wire, and just I knew it was going to be close, and I was worried. I guess I'm always a pessimist.
We always hear that term in this sport that's bounce or regress off of a big effort, right? Any concerns with that after running such a big race?
Well, I mean, there's always concerns, you know, just anytime you're concerned about everything leading into big races like this. But, you know, he's giving us every indication that he's ready to come back and run another good one. He's a lightly raced horse. This will only be his 3rd start of the year, and he's carrying great weight, and his energy level's been good, and his breezes have been good. I think everything indicates he's ready to come back over and run well. And the 2 times we have won the Woodward, we're in similar situations. One was with Lawyer Ron after a track record-setting performance in the Whitney, and he was able to come back in 4 weeks and do it. And then Quality Road, when he won the Woodward, it was after a very tough loss to Blame in the Whitney. So maybe history's on his side, and coming back in 4 weeks will work for him as well.
One horse that I don't think you have to worry about getting caught in a speed duel is My Loot, because he's going to be coming from further back, and a horse that gets a rematch with Bay of Plenty and FNX after that big effort last time out. Again, a horse that comes flying at the end. How about your thoughts on his last performance?
I thought his race in the Aladar was sneaky good. He got in some trouble leaving the gate, dropped way back, put in a big closing run, and you know, was finishing best of all, and I really like the way he's breezed since that race. So I think he's coming up to it in top shape.
Yeah, and only his 4th start since coming into your care. What have you learned about him in those 4 outings?
Well, You know, the Suburban was a really strangely run race, and the fractions were insane early, and then there was this big middle move by Tonalist, and My Loot was involved in that as well. And so, to me, I think, you know, he's a classic let him settle and make his run kind of horse, and I think that's what we've learned is you just don't want to don't force him early on to be anywhere, you know, that he doesn't want to be, and hopefully the fractions of the race will set up for him.
Then there's Coach Inge, who comes in off of a strong third-place finish in the Suburban on the 4th of July. What have the past couple of weeks been like for him?
He's actually trained really well. I mean, he's developed into a super nice horse, and we kicked around the idea of running him in the Whitney and decided to give him a little more time. Then we looked at the Island at Monmouth and even considered the Pacific Classic, but decided we'd stay home, run him in the Woodward, and then hopefully this will set him up well for the Jockey Club also. But he's training super. We're happy with him.
How big of an advantage is it to come into a big race like this with a fresh horse?
I think it can be an advantage, you know, and he had a very good foundation in the summer. He ran in the Brooklyn at a mile and a half, the Suburban at a mile and a quarter. So I think sometimes when you freshen horses up off longer races like that and then back them up a little bit, sometimes they can fire a big one.
Yeah, you mentioned the versatility. He's won at all those different distances. He also has very good early speed, a lot like Liam's Map. Don't know who's quicker, do you?
Yeah, I think Liam's Map's a little bit quicker, and you know, Coach Inge is what I would describe as a route speed horse, where Liam's Map, you could probably put him in just about any race and he'd be involved in the early pace. So, you know, I think being Coach Inge being outside of Liam's Map should allow him to kind of fall into a good tracking position.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. How do you avoid getting those two hooked up on the front end, and do you see Coach Inge maybe sitting back just a little bit?
I think a little bit. I think some of the pace pace development is going to be dependent on how quickly Bay of Plenty goes, because I believe Liam's Map, we're not going to take away his weapon. Speed is his game, and you know, he's got the ability to kind of get into a high cruising speed and carry it, so we'll look to let him do that, and then I think Bay of Plenty will be the one that determines how quick they go.
All right, and then you have Protonico, who will be coming from probably just off the pace as well. Haven't seen him since early May at Churchill Downs. Tell me about him.
We had a bit of a setback in the summer. He got a virus, and we were planning on going to the Stephen Foster. He got sick, and so that set us back a little while. But not an ideal place to bring one back off a bit of a layoff, but this is kind of the position we're stuck in.
What's the key to getting a horse ready to fire his best shot going a mile and an eighth off of a layoff like that?
I mean, I think it's just, you know, a lot of good stamina-building breezes, and, you know, we try to emphasize the gallop outs on some of those breezes, so you might see 59-4 minute in the work tab, but that doesn't necessarily tell the whole story on what they do after the wire sometimes.
Talking with Todd Pletcher here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, let's focus on the meet. Only a couple of days left. You're in kind of a dogfight with Chad Brown to maintain that title that you've had here for the past several years. Can you get him?
I don't know. I mean, it's really interesting. It's been a fun meet, and you know, the competition is keen. Chad's having a super meet. We've got some live horses, you know, and some good chances. But you look at the PPs, and he does too. So I think it's going to be really close.
Yeah, all trainers are a bit competitive, and you like to see your name at the top of that list. What's it mean to Todd Pletcher to have that name at the top of the list here at Saratoga every year?
Well, I mean, we've been so fortunate to, I think, be leading trainer here 11 times. So, you know, I don't know that one more is going to, you know, change a whole lot. But at the same time, it's fun. It makes it competitive. And, you know, you're always looking for new challenges to hopefully improve yourself.
Good luck on Saturday, and good luck with the training title, too.
Thanks very much.
Trainer Todd Pletcher taking the time with me yesterday, and some great stuff there, talking about all of his contenders coming up this afternoon. Again, four horses in the Woodward, two in the Spinaway, and Nona's Boy in the Saranac. The only race he's not participating in is that final one, but as you heard him say, they're trying to develop a horse for that category, and no doubt Todd Pletcher will be able to do that, and should be a great day of racing. All that coverage coming up this afternoon exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. 4 to 6 Eastern Time, I'll be joined by Acacia Courtney to bring you that coverage, and you can listen worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Going to get to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will hear from a gentleman who will be hoping to dethrone Todd Pletcher and his four horses in the Woodward. That is Don Little Jr., the president of Centennial Farms. He sends out Wicked Strong. We'll tell you all about that next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, celebrating 10 years of award-winning coverage.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Airdrie Stud's Majestic Perfection continues to be one of the hottest young stallions in America. His first crop three-year-olds include Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and Ashland Stakes winner Lovely Maria, Graded Stakes winner Hebronville, and the lightning-fast multiple stakes winner Majestic Affair. The number one sire in his crop by 2015 Graded Stakes winners to starters, and average earnings per starter, Majestic Perfection also offers a higher return on investment in the yearling ring than any other stallion in his crop. Airdrie Studs, Majestic Perfection. Think about it.
Every morning in Maryland, a new day dawns on more than 16,000 horse farms. From the mountains to the ocean and all along the Chesapeake Bay, new life surges from paddock to field to track, energizing the O-line state's grandest sport. Maryland, we grow horses.
To learn more about racing and breeding in Maryland, visit MarylandThoroughbred.com.
Ramsey Farms, Real Solution.
As they come down to the line, Real Solution is the winner.
A two-time Grade 1 winning millionaire, Real Solution joins his sire, top stallion Kitten's Joy, at Ramsey Farm.
Real Solution, the Apache, in a battle that's come down to a bomb.
Real Solution won both the Manhattan and Arlington Million, an earner of $1.3 million and a son of leading sire Kitten's Joy. Real Solution, standing for 12,500 at Ramsey Farm. Where is the thoroughbred industry growing and thriving? In the Midwest and Southwest, and only American Racehorse magazine covers Middle America from top to bottom. Each issue contains news from Oklahoma, Indiana, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, and more, with features you won't find in any other publication. If you're a stallion owner or equine services provider looking for an affordable way to reach more than 6,000 readers, American Racehorse can help. Get a free sample issue at AmericanRacehorse.com. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Lady Shipman takes the lead, puts away Tawny, and then comes Free as a Bird. Lady Shipman opens up. Lady Shipman by four. This is just one fine filly. Oh, what an easy win.
Lady Shipman rolled to a 2 3/4 length victory in Saratoga's Smart and Fancy Stakes last Sunday, setting a new track record for 5.5 furlongs on the turf while recording a 104 buyer speed figure. The daughter of Darley Stallion Midshipman recorded her fourth consecutive stakes win and now holds the three fastest buyers in 2015 for three-year-old fillies. Her stellar effort makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Among second crop sires, Darley Stallion Midshipman has a higher percentage of black type horses from starters than the likes of Super Saver, Majestic Perfection, and Warrior's Reward. An Eclipse Champion two-year-old, Midshipman is the fastest winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, defeating the future Kentucky Derby 1-2 finishers. To learn more about Midshipman and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here comes Britannico up alongside. And on the outside, Noble Bird is launching a bid 2-3-1 on the outside. Cougar Ridge is in behind them as the field turns for home. Den's Legacy still in front. Britannico draws alongside. And Noble Bird is fighting on as well. Down to the final furlong. Britannico inside of Noble Bird. These two lock horns with a 16th to go. Britannico on the outside, Noble Bird. Noble Bird's got the lead close to home. Noble Bird, Britannico fights on. Photo! Very tight on the wire. Noble Bird looked to have had it won. Britannico came back and made it tight, too tight to tell. Neck and neck was third.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, special guest co-host Mike Dianzaris, with you from the Embrace the Race store here on Circular Avenue in Saratoga Springs. Great to be back here at Embrace the Race. And don't forget, you can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Travis Stone with the call of the Grade 2 Ali Sheba, and Protonico getting the victory at Churchill Downs on May 1st. Has not been out since. He is one of four horses trained by Todd Fletcher going to the post in the Grade 1 Woodward. Of course, the folks at Centennial Farms and Don Little Jr. hoping that Wicked Strong might have a little say in the outcome of that race. You can catch our coverage 4 to 6 Eastern time this afternoon. Going to be joined by Don Little here in just a moment, but do want to remind you that on Sunday, September 13th, you can watch and wager on the $1 million Ricoh Woodbine Mile live from Woodbine Racetrack, featuring a star-stacked international field competing against two-time Horse of the Year Wise Dan. That's right, he's back. Wise Dan going to the post in that Ricoh Woodbine Mile. And, of course, you'll have that impressive wagering menu with bets as low as 20 cents on all Triactor, you like that, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Guaranteed Pick 4 pools, plus the all-new Thoroughbred Pick 5 and Jackpot High 5 wagers. It all comes your way Sunday, September 13th, live from Woodbine with the Ricoh Woodbine Mile. You can visit woodbinemile.com or follow them at Woodbine Racing on Twitter to learn more. Well, Wicked Strong was extremely impressive in winning the Jim Dandy last year here at Saratoga. Came back and was beaten just a nostril in the Grade 1 Travers by VE Day. And last time out, ran pretty well in the Grade 1 Whitney. Ended up fourth in that one. Looked like it could have been a little bit better, but ends up fourth behind Honor Code, Liam's Map, and Tonalist. Today, he gets a rematch with Liam's Map in the Woodward, and Don Little Jr. from Centennial Farms is with us now, live from Embrace the Race here on the Equine Forum. Don, appreciate you coming down, and all the best with Wicked Strong today.
Well, thanks, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here, and we're hoping for a little better luck, and, you know, we're excited about the challenge today, and you know, he came out of the Whitney in great shape, had a phenomenal breeze about 10 days ago, and I thought it was one of his best works ever, and actually got a text from Jimmy right after it and said, great work. So, I mean, that was a good sign.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't really happen very often. You know, texting is key with Jimmy. But, you know, he's doing very well. And if you look at his, you know, all of his races, he's been very consistent. He's very sound. He does well up here. And, you know, there's going to be some horses up front with Liam's Map giving him a little more challenge, I think, this time go around. And he'll be stalking 4 or 5 lengths off the lead, hopefully, and make his run down the stretch and be able to get, you know, get there in time or, you know, hold off whoever's coming at the end.
Yeah, well, I mentioned that I thought it looked like the Whitney finish was going to be even better than that fourth place finish, because as he was making his move and as they turned into the stretch, it looked like he was poised to go right by everybody. And if he can get that pace set up again today, you have to be feeling pretty good about the way he's coming into the race.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when they were coming out of the turn, he was, you could see his head getting close to the front. I said, boy, he's going to, you know, score here. And, you know, Honor Code ran a huge race. I mean, he's a tough guy right now, and, you know, he's going to be something to deal with down the line. But, you know, I think today's a good challenge for him. And, you know, if all goes well, we'll decide where we want to go next. We don't have anything in the plans. As with Jimmy, you know, it's one race at a time, and that's how we look at it. And, you know, we're hoping for a very good performance today.
Don, talk a little bit about the unique experience of running a big horse and 2 grade ones in the same meet at Saratoga, and what that's like for you guys in terms of not only your personal experience, but that for your partners and your investors in the horse. It's just got to be a wonderful thing for you guys.
Well, the one thing that we pride ourselves on, you know, we're a little different than some others. We keep them small.
Mm-hmm.
We currently have about 7 active partnerships going with about 68 active people involved spread out between those. And, you know, I've always said I don't want to go to the Kentucky Derby unless we have a legitimate chance. And, mm-hmm. and you know, last year we did. That chance was diminished slightly when we drew post 20.
Right.
But, you know, we want to have it to be an experience.
Yep.
I mean, you know, everybody says, well, I ever use experience. Well, it is. I mean,
right.
People will never forget an experience like that. And to have a horse that can, you know, compete at every dance in a Grade 1 race consistently. I think it's almost 9 times now, and he's been right there. I mean,
yeah.
it's a rare treat, and I think people are starting to realize how special that is. And, you know, we entertained at the Whitney. We had 100 people here.
Oh,
you know, because we encourage the partners to bring friends, bring family, and experience it at that level. And you know, that's what we try to do for people. And you know, when you have a reinvestment rate and people coming back to the partnerships
right.
at a 60-70% rate, I mean, you couldn't ask for anything more. And it's all the team that we put together, you know, 32 years ago.
Yep.
And we're all together, and we buy the same type of horses, and consistently we're there.
Process that works, that's great.
Yeah, and
that's
it great. Becomes like a family. And you think about the success that you've had, not just with Wicked Strong, but going back to Corinthian and Colonial Affair, which I know is a horse that meant an awful lot to you, Belmont yeah. Stakes winner, Lil's Lad, King Cougat. I mean, the list goes on with Centennial Farms.
And you forget some of the fillies when we first started. I mean, we finished 1-2 in the Acorn with Aptostar and Top Account. And, you know, we've had some Silent Account was ran in the first and only Breeders' Cup at Aqueduct. I don't know if that's a good thing, but, you know, she won the Alcibiades, and that was one of our first Graded Stakes winners, and we had multiple fillies before that. You know, we don't buy a lot of horses. We buy 8 a year, and you know, consistently we're there. I mean, our numbers in terms of starts and all that, but percentage-wise, we're right at the top.
Are there certain types of horses that you're looking for that kind of fit that Centennial Farms program?
Well, there is. I mean, you know, we're looking for a classic-type horse, a horse that can get a distance of ground. You know, they're not going to start in June of the two-year-old year. I mean, we have 7 2-year-olds this year. The first one will probably make his first start in late September, like Wicked did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have a... We're forgiving on the first dam. They can be light there, but as long as the second and third dam has a very strong, deep pedigree, you know, we hope that our horse will fill in that first dam and be a desirable stallion prospect down the road. And every stallion that we've been placing over the last 32 years, you know, has been very attractive to breeders when they first arrive on the stallion market.
Yeah, you talked a little bit about, you know, obviously Wicked Strong being by Hardspun. You were talking earlier that you've got a younger Hardspun on the way that's not exactly a diminutive horse, as we were talking about, right? So it could be the next wave of a Hardspun in the Centennial Farms family a little bit? Or?
Well, of course, we're definitely partial to Hardspun now. And we actually just bought a yearling here at the New York Bred Sale, which is the first time we participated there. But we bought a very nice Hardspun out of the family of Questing. So in Questing, you know, was by Hardspun, I think, so it's like a three-quarter brother to her. I just got a video from the farm of him already hand cantering around the fields at the farm in Virginia, and you know, we're very excited about Hardspun, and I think Darley's very happy that Wicked Strong came along
absolutely.
At the right time too.
Absolutely, and of course Hardspun, you talk about the dam's doing well here, and we were talking earlier about how Rachel's offspring have done very well here. Obviously we know the same thing can happen on the sire side as well, and he of course performed very well here as well. Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure that didn't go unnoticed when you were making your investment decisions, right?
Yeah, he's been, you know, he's really... Well, I mean, you got to look at Hardspun himself. I mean, he was a durable racehorse. Oh. I mean, he danced every dance.
He showed up every time. Every time he showed up. Yep.
And, you know, Wicked's sort of the same way.
Yep.
And I just think looking at all the Hardspuns at the yearling sales, he, you know, he produces a rugged type of horse that you can't always find.
Mm-hmm.
And, so it's exciting, and you know, we're always searching for the new hot sire, and you know, we bought a gemologist here as well, and a week later, the first day of the OBS sales, the top two colts were by gemologists, and so we were looking like
we were
it always works that way, right?
exactly, and I think another exciting thing that happened on Windy Day was the horse that was by Burning Roma, and of course he is the son of Rubiano.
Sure.
And Rubiano was one of our great stallions, and you know, unfortunately he passed away at an early age of 14 due to some colic complications. But you know, especially with Rubiano, it's exciting to see horses that you campaigned and then went on as a sire carry on that lineage, and we can say, well, it's pretty neat we were part of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Visiting with Don Little Jr., the president of Centennial Farms, continuing in the footsteps of his father who had so much success at Centennial. And Don, I can remember you and I sat down last year before the Kentucky Derby. We actually produced a feature on Wicked Strong that aired on our national broadcast. And the approach that we wanted to take was looking at, number one, how he got his name, because that was very unique. And then number two, all of the good that he was doing and the people that were benefiting by his success because of the fact that he was running to benefit victims of the Boston Marathon bombings. And that's something that I know you are very proud of, that you've been able to help out in that respect with Wicked Strong.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like I said last year, every partner was approached, and, you know, there wasn't one person that was opposed to it. And the total figure that was donated to the one fund last year was $38,000.
Wow.
And, you know, it was an honor, and we kept it under the rug. But on Belmont Day, we had the Richards family join us. You know, Martin Richard, who was killed in the bomb, his family came and were our guests. We went to dinner with them Friday night in a private setting, and they came and saw Wicked that day, you know, on Friday. And Jane, the little girl who lost her leg in the bombing, was, you know, such a trooper, and some of the stories, what she was doing now to help others. And, I mean, it was a very, very touching, meaningful moment to a lot of people in the New England area. And, you know, it's something that I will never forget, and very proud to help out.
You know, that theme of giving back is, I mean, a lot of industries and worlds give back, but I don't know if it happens as much as it does. There's such a sense of community in the racing community. So for you guys to bring your sense of community from the racing world to the tight-knit community that is Boston and New England, and bring those two together, it doesn't get any better than that. And then to make the day of a family that's been through hell and back, and a little child like that, I mean, that's just, you know, it's what being in your shoes is all about a lot of times, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, it brings, you know, brought tears to my eyes.
Sure,
it
brings tears to my eyes right now. I mean, it's, yeah.
And, you know, I think going forward, when we're in a, hopefully lucky enough to be in a situation like that again, you know, we will find a viable charity.
Yep.
To do so. All the partners are behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we should do some more of those things, not just in the thoroughbred industry, but to other, you know, other areas.
Sure.
Of humanity, in local areas, communities.
Yep.
It's great to help support. People like helping people.
Absolutely.
It's just human nature, and I think if we can do that in some way, that gives the thoroughbred industry as a whole even a better image in a public perspective, where a lot of times we're not put in that position.
Yeah.
Well, Don, it's been a pleasure to visit with you again here this morning. It always is. And I want to wish you all the best going forward today and going forward with Wicked Strong and all the horses in the Centennial Stable. So appreciate the time, my friend. And, of course, like all of our guests who appear, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, but you've already received that because Mike went ahead and did a nice custom-branded hat with your silks on the side, the Embrace the Race logo on the front. Looks beautiful.
That's
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, no, thanks for leaving the track to come out. We really appreciate it.
No, it's a pleasure to speak with you guys always, and look forward to doing it again. And, you know, good luck on your show this afternoon, and hopefully we'll be speaking following it.
Yes, absolutely. Don Little Jr., Centennial Farms, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Going to get to a break. We'll come back with our Right or Wrong segment, the KTA-KTOB update, and our Road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Tollgate Hay Company in Georgetown, Kentucky is family-owned and operated and offers top-quality local and northern hay and straw. At Tollgate Hay Company, you'll find hay in both large and small squares with western hay available upon request. Are you in need of bagged shavings or the best in McCauley's feed? Tollgate Hay has you covered. So call today, 502-542-8343. That's 502-542-8343. Tollgate Hay Company.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. When the Lexus LS was introduced, it changed the industry. Decades of world's first and countless awards later, it's considered by many to be the finest vehicle in the world. So how do you improve upon the impossible standard you've set? Piece by methodical piece, scrutinize every aspect of the driving experience in search of new ways to surprise and inspire those inside. I'm Mike Penna, and I will tell you firsthand that you can say the same things about the people at the Lexus store of Lexington. The people truly do make the difference. From the Godfather Tony Ottiano to their outstanding sales team, I promise that when you walk through their doors on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, you'll feel the same way. And if you're in the horse business, there's no reason to go anywhere else. The people at the Lexus store are horse people. They're actively involved with supporting the industry, and they want to be the dealership of the equine industry. So stop in and see them and find out for yourself what it means to be a part of the pursuit of perfection at the Lexus store of Lexington.
The Breeders' Cup runs here.
What a memorable Breeders' Cup Classic. It's a race for the ages. Bayern, Toast of New York, California Chrome. Bayern, Toast of New York. Bayern has won it.
The Breeders' Cup, October 30th and 31st. Exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Cal Density. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information and to listen live.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
And a busy morning on the Equine Forum rolling on. Just about 15 minutes left in the program. Don't forget, if you missed any portion of the show, our interviews with Craig Fravel from the Breeders' Cup, with Don Little from Centennial Farms just a few minutes ago, my one-on-one interview with Todd Pletcher, or Dennis Blake, the publisher of American Racehorse Magazine, you can go to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast at your leisure. Time now for your weekly Right or Wrong segment, joined by the Big A, Anthony Stabile, for this segment, which is presented by Sunrise Stallions, home to Big Brown, Frost Giant, and his full brother, Heavy Breathing.
Yeah, right or wrong? Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, Big A, you ready for this one today?
Of course.
All right, my friend, let's get started then. All right, the first one is the fine that was issued to jockey Victor Espinoza after riding in the Travers Stakes last weekend. He was fined $15,000 total for wearing a sponsor logo on his boots and his name on his pants. Big A, this punishment of $15K fit the crime, right or wrong?
That is correct, Baron. That is right. You know, there are rules put in place. Whether you agree with the rules or disagree with the rules, that's for you to decide. But rules are rules nonetheless. I know a lot of people feel like it was harmless, but there's a rule. There's no advertising here in New York. You want to dance, you got to pay the man. So, yeah, I mean, I think it was the right move.
All right, I'm going to disagree with you on this one, and I think it brings up a bigger issue in the sport of thoroughbred racing, okay? Victor Espinoza is allowed to do this at certain tracks, and then he comes here to New York, and he's not allowed to do it. Now, as the story goes, he was apparently informed by the stewards ahead of time that he was not supposed to be doing this. So from the sponsor logo perspective, okay, I get it. You want to fine him for that, that's fine. But in terms of wearing his name on his pants, he wasn't wearing a sponsor logo. He wasn't branding himself with anything except for the name Espinoza on his pants. That, to me, is excessive. The $15,000 amount is excessive when you have medication violations in this sport that don't require a $15,000 fine. To me, the punishment absolutely did not fit the crime.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, and number two, Big A, how about this one? Well, American Pharoah was extremely game in last weekend's Travers, but his loss, in some people's eyes, diminishes his legacy. Is that right or wrong?
It diminishes legacy in my eyes. That is correct. I went as far as to put him third on the NTRA poll this week behind Honor Code and Beholder. When you have achieved such lofty goals as the Triple Crown and have accomplished such great things, the pressure is on. He won the Haskell very easily, but that mile and a quarter, like I thought it would, proved to be a bit too much in the Midsummer Derby. You have to win out from here. Love the fact that he's staying in training. Great from the fan point of view. It's great from the Zayats point of view because there's plenty of money to be earned on the racetrack. The pressure's on Bob Baffert, though, now.
I'm just baffled that you would think that this actually takes away from his legacy. I mean, he was the sport's first Triple Crown winner in nearly four decades, 37 years. That, to me, is his legacy. And I've said this before. It doesn't matter if he gets beat. And look, he didn't get beat. He didn't run dead last in the Travers, right? He put away a very game frosted and almost had enough to hold off Keen Ice at the end. It wasn't like he was embarrassed. He ran a huge race in the Travers. To me, if anything, it may have enhanced his reputation and his legacy because of the fact that he ran so big in the Midsummer Derby. I don't think he has to win out from here. It would be great to see. But look, he's a Triple Crown winner. There's only been 12 of those in the sport, in the history of thoroughbred racing. He has his legacy. That takes absolutely nothing away from it. If anything, it enhances it.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right or wrong. Nick Zito taking care of us there here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Big A, always a lot of fun to catch up with that segment, and we will remind people that they can go to our website to check out the podcast of the Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview, which you hosted with Ellis Starr last night. You looked at all the big races coming up this weekend, and that's something that if you're going to bet the races, it's a must-do.
Yeah, so it was a good show. We gave out some prices as well, so get back to horseracingradio.net and listen to that Weekend Stakes Preview podcast.
All right, Big A, you're the best. We'll talk to you here next week.
You got it, Baron.
All right, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, Right or Wrong, presented by Sunrise Stallions. We'll step away for a quick word from Sunrise and then take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup.
The stallion roster at Sunrise Stallions includes Big Brown, Frost Giant, and his full brother Heavy Breathing, who combined to breed more than 200 mares this season. Big Brown leads all New York stallions in 2015 earnings with over $3 million, and this year's two-year-olds come from his biggest crop. Frost Giant's largest two-year-old crop debuts next year, and 17 yearlings by Frost Giant have been accepted by Fasig Tipton for the New York Preferred Sale in Saratoga. Learn more by visiting sunrisestallions.com.
And it is time now to go down that road to the Breeders' Cup, all presented by Gainsway.
This is the road to the Breeders' Cup.
The race of the year, the horse of the year.
Presented by Gainsway on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
All right, Mike Dianzaris, time for you and I to take a look at some of the big races coming up this weekend, and of course all eyes here on Saratoga and out in Del Mar as well. Our coverage coming up 4 to 6 Eastern this afternoon. You can listen exclusively on our website, your smartphone, or your tablet at horseracingradio.net as we bring you coverage of the Saranac, the Grade 1 Spinway, which is a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, and of course the Grade 1 Woodward, which no doubt, even though not a win and you're in, will have major implications into that Breeders' Cup Classic picture. And just in case you're wondering, edging ever closer to the Breeders' Cup, now just 55 days, 5 hours, and 38 minutes away.
And Craig's wife was helping him count that too, right? So, exactly.
Yeah, I can't wait to be there. We'll be there at Keeneland with all of your exclusive coverage as, once again, since 2007, we've been the exclusive radio partner of the Breeders' Cup, and it's great to be able to bring you that coverage again here. That contract was extended out a couple more years, so we'll bring you coverage all the way through the 2017 Breeders' Cup, and this year all of our coverage at Keeneland on Friday, October 30th, Saturday, October 31st, is presented by our friends at Cal Density. You can visit caldensity.com to learn more about that great product. Mike, in terms of what we're going to see here today, I mentioned the Spinaway being a win, and you're in for the Juvenile Fillies division. Mm-hmm. Rachel's Valentina, probably the headliner in there, just simply because of her pedigree, being a daughter
of the great Rachel Alexandra.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it's a very interesting race from not only a personality perspective or character perspective with the Rachel influence, but certainly, you know, you get another look at what could be the premier, you know, three-year-old class of this generation. So, I mean, I think it's a very, very interesting race. You've got a very interesting speed horse. You heard Todd talk earlier about Tonassa and her turn of foot. And we talked earlier, you know, you're really looking at a very impressive maiden score by Tap to It. Probably one of the sneakiest, best performances you'll see all year at the track as far as trouble and running and coming through and really running unused down the lane after a lot of trouble. So I think it's a very, very interesting race. And I can tell you one thing, the folks of Saratoga, when they see those golden maroon silks, are going to be quite excited if Rachel's Offspring comes running down the lane again.
It will be electric here at Saratoga this afternoon. And I'm glad you brought up number one, Tap to It, because that's the filly I think could be the one to beat in here.
Yep.
You mentioned the trouble trip last time out. What she did, breaking from an inside post position in her debut, which is very difficult on a young horse. She overcame the inside post. She overcame the trouble that she had that race, and she still drew off to win by two. So she, to me, is going to be the one that I'm going to key on in here. But I think that you do have to look at Rachel's Valentina. Tonassa, you know, what can you say? She ran absolutely huge last time out when she was second in the Grade 2 Adirondack behind Just Wicked. And then Banry in the outside is a filly that I caught last time when she ran second at 5-1 to Off the Tracks, the daughter of Curlin. And I had her in that race in the Grade 3 Schuylerville. Thought she ran a bang-up race, and I look for her to improve as well.
And, of course, she's the most experienced with three. You know, this will be her fourth start as a young filly. So, you know, wondering if that plays positively or negatively as far as the wear-down factor that comes into play. But I agree with you. I think the Tap 2 at Philly, that was just a phenomenal race. There's two schools of thought there, right? She started on the rail in a 6-furlong race, and the percentages there are not very good. So did she buck the trend once? Or did she prove that she's the one who already knows how to do it, and that's not gonna bother her? Personally, I agree with you. I think she's a pick there.
We're gonna know the answers to those questions at 5:11 Eastern time this afternoon. That is post time for the Grade 1 7-furlong Spinaway. And again, you're gonna hear it exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're gonna take a look at the Grade 1 Woodward right after this word from Gainesway.
Power.
It is Texas Red just outclassing them. Look at this for an easy one in the Breeders' Cup.
Passion.
And Materiality is undefeated. He has won the Florida Derby.
Performance.
At Charleroi in a driving finish. Charleroi to win the Oaks.
Gainesway Stallion of Fleet Alex has produced 7 Grade 1 winners, 4 in the past 10 months, including Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Jim Dandy winner Texas Red, Florida Derby hero Materiality, and Del Mar Oaks winner Charleroi. Other top runners by a Fleet Alex include Grade 1 Travers winner of Fleet Express, Grade 2 Delaware Oaks winner Dancing a Fleet, and Harissa, winner of the Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie. Eclipse champion of Fleet Alex won the Preakness and Belmont by a combined 11¾ lengths. A Fleet Alex standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
All right, just a few minutes left here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, continuing to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup, presented by Gainesway. And Mike D'Anzares, how about that Grade 1 Woodward today? A mile and an eighth on the main track. It will go postward right around 5:47 Eastern time in a field of 8 signed on to go.
As interesting as a Grade 1 will get, I mean, you've got Todd Pletcher, prolific trainer for sure, has got half the field, so that's an angle to certainly wonder how that'll play out. But, I mean, to me, I think it comes down to one quick question, is can Liam's Map do it again on the front end? You know, you heard Todd talk about, you know, Coach Inge. It might rate a little bit more. Personally, I think if anybody lets Liam's Map rate, you know, they rate and they let him go, it may be over, because, you know, Honor Code got to him, but barely, and he didn't throw an anchor out. So to me, it comes down to, you know, who's going to try to come at him at the end. Personally, I think it's Liam's Map, and in the interest of our guest today, how could you not like what Wicked Strong is doing on the track and what they're doing off the track with Centennial Farms? Just great stuff.
Yeah, very much so. And Wicked Strong, according to Don Little Jr., doing extremely well and sitting on a big race. We'll see if that is indeed the case coming up this afternoon in the Grade 1 Woodward. $600,000 on the line and another step toward the Breeders' Cup Classic at Keeneland on October 31st. Don't forget, we're going to be there as your exclusive radio home. 20 hours of Breeders' Cup coverage coming up here on the Horse Racing Radio Network that week. It begins on Tuesday morning with our Breeders' Cup countdown shows, which are presented by Jimmy John's, and leading right up to the all that coverage on Friday and Saturday presented by Cal Density. You can go to our website, horseracingradio.net, for a complete broadcast schedule, listing of affiliates, and Sirius XM channel information. Want to encourage you to follow us on social media at HRN on Twitter to keep up to date with all the latest announcements and news from the Horse Racing Radio Network, and some big news coming out this week, so stay tuned for that. Want to thank all of our guests, Craig Fravel from Breeders' Cup, for being here, Dennis Blake, Todd Fletcher for taking the time yesterday, and Don Little Jr. as well. Mike D, been a lot of fun to be here at Embrace the Race, and we'll encourage people to keep embracing their passion for the sport of racing.
Great to have you guys here. Just a lot of fun. It always is. Great guests today. You guys do a great job. A lot of excitement on and off the track here in Saratoga, around the country. I got three words for it, Michael. Embrace the race.
Embrace the race, my friends. EmbraceTheRace.com is the place to go. For our producers, Lee Delapina, back in our Lexington studios. For my beautiful wife, Michelle, the Baroness, pushing all the right buttons here on site. For Mike Dianzaris at Embrace the Race, I'm Mike Pena. We'll talk to you next time. For now, go Steelers.